Here's our eye in the sky in the Western Conference. From city to city, rink to rink, and boost to boost, he's the best in the West. Time for Pete Weber on NHL Home Ice.
I have a personal announcement, though. I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of Tim McCracken. He's the coach and chief punk on that Syracuse team.
A bounty?
Yeah. $100 of my own money for the first of my men that really nails that creep. That's 8 o'clock at the War Memorial, the Syracuse, and the all-new Charleston Chiefs.
Thanks, Rich.
Not to worry, kid.
Yeah. Are you nuts? A bounty? We could all land in the clinker for this.
Oh, big deal, Joe.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Welcome back to Hockey This Morning on NHL Home Ice. Time to bring in Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators and our Western Conference analyst. Hello, Pete.
Good morning. Make me feel like Jim Carr there.
Absolutely. Luckily, though, you don't have his wardrobe.
I bet he did.
You may have had it.
Yeah.
I would. Listen, I saw some of the pictures that you'd put up on Facebook. And the wardrobe was there.
Yes. Not as much leather, but.
That's right. But we got to point out for those fans who may not know about Slapshot, Bruce Boudreau in that movie.
Yes.
And a lot of folks may not have known that about Bruce, but he was in that movie. And I know a lot of people are talking about the movie Goon these days, and it's getting, from a lot of hockey fans, it's getting a lot of positive talk here. But I still don't think that you can beat Slapshot. It would take a lot.
No, and a guy who was father of a major league pitcher was big in that movie as well. Kirk McCaskill's father, Ted, who had a nice professional hockey career, a lot of it in the minor leagues and in the WHA. Ted McCaskill was in that movie also, and he helped launch professional hockey in the city of Nashville with the Dixie Flyers back in the 60s.
Interesting. And it's interesting also that when you talk about the bounties that have made the headlines National Football League, I mean, let's face it, hockey's got its own form of that. You often will hear a guy who puts money up on the board. And,
yes.
And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, he's playing his former team, and he's going to throw a little bit of money into the pizza pie fund for the end of the season if his team actually pulls off the win. But obviously, when you're talking about what's going on in the NFL, it's a little different, but
yes,
not totally unexpected.
Nope, but I got to tell you, in the early years of this Predators franchise where you had – you know, players from 26 other teams being pulled from the expansion draft, that money on the board every time they met one of their former teams got to be pretty heavy, hefty sum by the time the season got rolling back in 98-99.
Of course, what people don't know is Pete Weber was a body double for Paul Newman in
Slapshot.
Yeah. You did a good job of that one, Pete.
Well, I appreciate that. But again, that leather suit was a little constraining, especially when you got into the Aces.
Oh, yeah, let's talk constraining then.
Yes.
You sent us interesting total points since the All-Star break. It's interesting how people break down seasons. It all depends. It's sort of like when radio stations do ratings. They can always tell you, oh, no, we're number one. Look, in this demographic with kids not wearing diapers, we're number one.
From 6:15 to 6:30 a.m.
That's right. From women who can't drive but like to, we're number one. And whatever. Hey, I'm talking to guys back in the 50s with those old coats. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I'm not saying that.
Fair enough.
I'd like to see Rossi turn red, by the way. It's fun. Total points since the
All-Star break. I guess we did that last week, too, didn't we?
But we're on a roll here, Pete. We're on a roll. So you've got a total points since the All-Star break. Some people will do it from, like, New Year's Day on. It all depends on the team. So in the West, of course, Vancouver's leading with 27 points, and that's no surprise. And only two losses since the All-Star break. Anaheim, though, is right up there, and that's
isn't
probably
that amazing?
No surprise either. They're 2 points at 25, and they won last night. So what are they? How many points out? 4 points out of a playoff spot right now?
Yeah,
is that what it is? I'm looking now. Yes, they are 5 points out.
Five points and have to effectively jump five teams to make it. So I think that's the most difficult part of it. But if I were to take that back further, as I have in previous weeks, effectively from before Christmas time, they have been on an incredible, incredible run. And again, the team they're just ahead of right now, since the All-Star break, only because of playing two more games, the St. Louis Blues. I think we can firmly establish the candidacies of Ken Hitchcock and Randy Carlyle right now. But are we going to forget about what, you know, excuse me, but Bruce Boudreau, are we going to forget about what Boudreau has done because of the sustained level of excellence that has been put together by the Blues under Ken Hitchcock?
That's interesting. I thought you fell for the blue and white disease, too. Randy Carlyle wins one game in Toronto. He's coach of the year.
Hey, what a great winning percentage.
That does happen. No, that's a good question. Again, I often think the coach of the year award is the most unfair award in some ways, because it always goes to the guy who has resurrected the team. Second time I've used that word, the most, when it's not consistency. And I understand why, and Hitchcock would be a worthy candidate. But, man, Pete, Mike and I have talked about this before. There's like 7 or 8 worthy candidates at least in the league this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely there are. And, you know, someone else that when we look up and down the league run right now, I think that it was probably and it might be harder this year than it was last for Alain Vigneault as well.
Oh, no respect. No respect. I mean, if they voted after, let's say they were to win the cup, but they don't do that. Of course, they vote before the
season.
Can I point one other thing out, Ross, before you jump in? This total points you've got since the All-Star break, the one that stands out to me, and you underscored it too, is the San Jose Sharks.
Yes.
They are second worst in the West since the All-Star break, folks. 13 points in 17 games. Only 2 up in Minnesota, who we all go, well, things just fell apart for them. Well, what's going on with the Sharks? Things fell apart for them too.
Yeah, now they had a horrendous trip. I mean, and insult was added to injury when their plane wasn't ready to go or wasn't able to go.
I think they took 2 points off just for that.
They might as well have. But let's talk about in danger of falling out of the field. Right now, San Jose, with its remaining 16 games, their opponents, now they can impact this, obviously, have the highest winning percentage of any club in the West on their remaining schedule. 62.3 points winning percentage. The balance of the way. And so they really bear watching. I mean, we don't know yet for sure if tonight, if Coach Tom McClellan will be able to bounce back from getting that stick over the head from Marco Scandella in the run-in by the Sharks bench in Minnesota, whether he's going to be able to recover and be back behind the bench again. He did run practice yesterday and said that he felt better afterward. But when you have your coach being a game-time decision, as will be the case tonight for San Jose when they host Edmonton, that's a different story altogether.
Let us talk then about the race at the bottom here of this conference, because this is, it's more interesting, or maybe I say that because it's kind of like, you know, watching a train wreck or a car crash. We just can't look away. Watching the San Jose Sharks, watching the LA Kings, watching the Calgary Flames. Colorado's the one team in there that I look at in a positive light just because of the way they've played of late, making a move at the deadline, and which seems to be fitting in nicely, and that's Jamie McGinn. You know, am I wrong to feel that way about what we're seeing basically 8 through 11?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And it's, you know, in Calgary, I don't think anybody has stubbed its toes more than the Calgary Flames have the last few weeks, ending up going into and getting those extra time points, if you will, after dropping games. But this is a club now. I mean, Calgary is in a somewhat difficult situation with its regulation and overtime wins. That's going to hurt them a little bit, but I'm still trying to figure out if they're going to have a sustained surge going down the stretch. Right now, you look at the standings overall, they're ahead of Anaheim, but we've already discussed which of the two of those clubs is the hotter. And I think we know that Anaheim is in a little bit better shape than Calgary overall, but still way too much traffic in front to be able, I think, to overcome the stretch drive problems they're going to be faced with.
Pete, for the last year and even now, of course, when we talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins, we talk about the absence of Sidney Crosby and how they would be affected. Well, it allowed Evgeny Malkin to remember that he's a heck of a hockey player, and that team is well coached, well managed. They're just a team that has coped with it. And if they get Crosby back, talk about a trade deadline pickup. We'll see. But a team like Chicago, they've a number of injuries, but the big one to me is the guy I really like, Jonathan Toews. Uh-huh. Are they the sort of team that, like Pittsburgh, can fill the gap when Crosby's gone? Can they do that with Taves? Because he's their Crosby in a sense. They different kind of player, different role, but right. he's an impact player, and he's the captain.
And right, he is the captain, and he also is a guy who will do every job other than goaltender on the ice, though perhaps the Blackhawks would have liked him to have been goaltender on a few occasions coming on down the stretch. Chicago also has Nick Hjalmarsson out, and you know that the ugly C word, the concussion word, floats over top of that team quite a bit. And by the way, you're talking about players coming back from injury. I think we could fairly say that St. Louis has had the same effect with the return of Andy McDonald, effectively like almost like a trade deadline acquisition, as he has bounced back from the dreaded C word again and is playing very well for St. Louis at this point in time. But with Chicago, you know, as really you guys were talking with Pierre Maguire yesterday, who's going to be the one? Right now it's Ray Emery. But will Ray Emery be the guy that provides them the goaltending they need to make it into the field? Then they take their chances. I like the way Emery's playing right now.
Yeah, I like the way he's playing too. And I don't think you go wrong with either guy, mostly because – you know, I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around the fact that there aren't 30 elite goaltenders
Correct.
In the National Hockey League. There aren't even 20 elite goaltenders in the NHL. So you go with who you got, and you're rolling the dice no matter who you are, unless you know you've got a proven commodity. And even then, teams that have a proven commodity aren't necessarily going to have these guys show up as big horses come the playoffs.
Right.
Everybody's game just sort of turns on a dime. There's just no way, I think, of predicting, especially with goaltenders, because they are just such a weird bunch of dudes and so seemingly fragile mentally I wouldn't be prepared to necessarily put my money on one guy and say, all right, we're going with him. It's the same as seeing Marty Turco signed yesterday by the Boston Bruins. You know, the question has to be asked, is there anybody out there that is going to take a run at him on waivers here? I think you'd be nuts to do it. I think you'd be crazy. The guy hasn't played nearly enough games, in my opinion, to be there. Why are the Bruins even interested?
Before you answer that, let me say, I just got to ask this question. Did anyone sign Ed Belfour, too? Anyone else there? You know, maybe Dominic
nope.
Hasek will come back.
I saw Johnny Bauer a few weeks ago.
There you go. He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and now Detroit, you know, has that problem with Jimmy Howard right now, which has been off and on effectively all year. And now Detroit recalling three players from Grand Rapids for their trip to Philadelphia today. And that includes a goaltender coming up as well, Jordan Pierce, former player at University of Notre Dame. But let's talk about dealing with injuries. You have Pavel Datsyuk coming back, they hope soon, from knee surgery. Bruised ankle for Nick Lidstrom. Fractured wrist for Jonathan Erickson. And then you have Jakob Kindl being hurt in the loss to Chicago on Sunday because, I tell you, again, back to Chicago. What a roller coaster for them. You know, lose 9 in a row, win 4, drop 3. That's really been something to observe there. But let's not overlook what Detroit has had to overcome this year, and they are still there. While they did consider signing Connor Crisp in goal, they are still there where they are right now, and I think it's rather remarkable to me, and maybe we're being, and I'm being a little bit too quick and discounting the candidacy of Mike Babcock. Maybe this is his best year.
Pete, thank you for today, and we will be checking in with you again next week. Enjoy the hockey. Should be an interesting battle in that Western Conference.
Should it ever. Predators, 3 games this week at home. Tonight, Los Angeles. Thursday, Colorado. And, yes, those Red Wings on Saturday.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you much, guys.
Pete Weber, voice of the Nashville Predators, our Western Conference analyst.